It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we shall do it. A solemn check-in at
number five.
Today is the one-year anniversary of the death of Chicago police officers Conrad Gary and Eduardo Marmolejo. They were killed in the line of duty while chasing a suspect onto train tracks. Their service and sacrifice remembered with a special ceremony at the district where they spent their careers as police officers. Interim Superintendent Charlie Beck.
I never met them, but I know them. I know them because I'm the son of a cop, the father of three. I know them because I see their faces in their brothers that I met today. I know them because I see their character in the 13,000 men and women that share the badge that they wore. I know them because they walked those dark streets. They stood on the rampart. They protected others at the expense of their own safety. They were true cops. Real police. Good police.
I did have an opportunity to get to know the families of Conrad Gary and Eduardo Marmolejo over the last year, and I have to say that those are two of the bravest women I have ever met, those two widows, because their ability to stand up and they're obviously, when you have situations like this, there are many organizations that reach out and that try to help. And there's many times that they're asked to be in public while they're still grieving and mourning. And especially in a, when young families, as you heard there.
So close to
right. That's one of the children. Yeah. And there were, I think, a total of five children that lost their dads mm-hmm. on that day. So when you have a moment of having to be out in public like that, those two women are some of the, I take so much strength from their strength as they tell their story or they talk about their families and what the struggle has been like for the last year. And that's what you got to remember. I mean, there's so much time spent in our business, in the media business, talking about things that go wrong with police officers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they do. I'm not trying to excuse bad behavior here because I won't. But they're, for every incident like that, there are 1,000 incidents in which cops are doing the right thing and going and chasing down a suspect. Things you never hear about because it doesn't end in tragedy. It just ends in an arrest. And for the people who go out and ride the streets day and night and have to go out and confront people that everybody else would want to run away from, it's just, it's a totally thankless job.
They're doing it to help keep us safe. So their lives are on us as well.
Right. And those two young police officers were exactly doing what they were supposed to do. They got the call. There was a report of shots fired. There's a train trestle right there. They went up the train trestle. They thought that they were going to be able to confront the gunman up there. They saw one train heading toward them. They were able to get away from that, but were not aware of the one behind them. And they both lost their lives today. And it actually is the first time since the 1970s that the Chicago Police Department had lost two police officers in the same incident. So it was a really horrible, tragic loss. And just 3 weeks ago, we commemorated the one-year anniversary of the Mercy Hospital situation. That's just, so to lose three police officers in short order like that for the Chicago Police Department and the city of Chicago was a great tragedy. And thankfully, the last year has been relatively safe for Chicago police officers. But it's still a moment to remember. It's a moment to reflect. And you think about those young families and you think about the service and the sacrifice that those two men gave to Chicago. And that's all I want to say about it, because it's an emotional thing. For me, we just honored those three widows from the Mercy and then these two police officers' wives a couple of weeks ago or months ago now, two months ago.
One, I believe, did run the marathon in honor of her husband.
Right.
And that was a really great story to hear as well.
So the we did honor them at a dinner a couple of months ago, and they stood up there and they told their story. And I want to just thank them, and I want to thank all the other people who are working to make their lives better. Let's check now the traffic and the weather. Here is Lauren Lapka.
And get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team weekdays 4 to 10.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 4.
Bears lost the Green Bay Packers yesterday. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, in case you missed it.
Yeah, on a plane.
They missed the playoffs. Did you hear about that?
Yep.
Definitely.
Mitch Trubisky was asked if that last play, that attempt at... wasn't a Hail Mary. It was basically one of those
options. Yeah.
You throw the ball short, and then everybody gets behind, and you just lateral back, and you hope to get in the end zone. And they got pretty close.
Looking ladder. Yeah, they almost pulled it off.
Yep, they almost did. But did that sum up the season, Mitch Trubisky?
No. I would say that's a little bit of a reach. You could flip it around and say, we're giving great effort. We're just coming up short, so... It is what it is. Just didn't go our way, but you can't ever let one play dictate how the game goes. There are a bunch of plays throughout the game that if we would have made, maybe it could have been different, but you could say maybe, if, and, or buts. There's a lot of hypotheticals that we just can't get into. So we got to fix the mistakes, watch the film, and get better from there. But you never dwell on one play early on, later in the game. Doesn't matter when it happens. Some plays are more crucial than others, and that's how it falls down. But overall, if you make more plays, then you won't be in that spot.
What are the odds that he makes a mistake while saying we need to fix the mistakes?
I actually thought he played pretty well yesterday, going back and watching it. I mean, the past few games, he's really been okay with making plays, running. One of the interceptions was a Hail Mary, so I don't know. I think he's gotten better over the past few weeks.
That's true. But I think Lauren's point is right as well. Although he said fist the mistakes, which I thought that seems rather aggressive.
Yeah, just punch him in the face. That's the way to get through, right?
Merry Fistmas.
Matt, I know what you did there. I've got, you know what? You're going to get a memo for that. Matt Nagy, I have a question for you, too. What about the inconsistency in the run game? Can you ever get it together?
The consistency is where we're at, and that's going to be, for myself, just something that I know that I take personally, and I understand how important it is to run the football. And even going back to yesterday, you know, there's run calls in there that y'all don't know because we threw it, you know, with the RPOs. So there's a handful of those, and you want to be successful with that. And so we'll go back as a staff, and we'll go back as an organization and just kind of figure out that. But we do know we need to be better there.
You know, I've given such great advice to coaches throughout Chicago for many years, as you know.
Yes.
I'm going to give some advice to Coach Nagy now. The reason that you're having trouble running the ball is your offensive line is incapable of run blocking.
Mm-hmm. Not been good. David Montgomery, the leading rusher, 14 carries, 39 yards. That's 2.8 yards a carry roll. That's not good.
He was getting bear hugged at the line or before the line of scrimmage.
I know. It was just, it's the same old story.
Yeah. They're just not. And pass protection hasn't been particularly great. I know the loss of Kyle Long means something, but I think it also means a fresh new future. That's if the Bears are going to build anywhere in the offseason, they should be targeting the offensive line.
I agree.
And they put a guy in who can't snap the ball. I will not mention that man's name in case OB is still listening. I do not want him to have a seizure. OB, that is. All right, checking in at
number 3.
Days after, Mississippi parents spoke out about hackers using their Ring security camera to harass their 8-year-old in her room. More worried families say hackers are targeting them. Here are Jake and Ashley Norris of Kansas City. They say that their Ring security camera was hacked and was subject to unwanted commentary by the hacker.
My son was out here on his iPad and we started hearing kind of this muffled talking. My kids were here and he's talking to my kids and spying on it. It's just so wrong. Our daughter's still creeped out. She couldn't fall asleep that night, and I've slept with her every night since because she's so scared. It's creepy.
Yeah, you're still getting violent. You know, we're sitting here watching TV, hanging out as a family, and someone's using it like a reality TV show or something.
Kids already worry about monsters under the bed, and now they just have to worry about ghost voices in their house.
The worst. And then there was this couple. This is unbelievable. Interracial couple. This is in Florida, right? Jacksonville, Florida. And Listen to the hacker here.
What's going on, my main man, Shaq? It's your boy, Chance on Nold. Welcome to the Noldcast.
Wait, so did your child come out black or, like, kind of, like, light-skinned? I don't know.
What?
Nothing. Can you bring, like, a web browser up on your phone and then type in the website that I tell you?
No.
Why? I'll leave you and your family alone. Or I could do this. I like your dog.
What an idiot.
I mean, you could get arrested for harassment, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a federal crime in that because he's using the interstate wires to harass them.
That's just...
And you can also argue it's a hate crime. But I would make it my life's business. I'd go full Taken on this. I would make it my life's business to find this guy.
I've got a particular set of skills. And you can run, but you can't hide, 14-year-old.
We'll find you.
And I'll wait to your 18th birthday. And on your 18th birthday, you're going to get quite a surprise, my little friend.
I would, man. I mean, it is.
I know. Because then that's your home. Like, how could you ever be comfortable in that home again?
You can't.
You got to turn the tables.
Some little weirdo teenagers hacking into your system.
Come sit it to my face, 14-year-old. You have your particular set of skills, and I've got mine.
Unleash him. He'll get this solved right away.
Yeah, I know. I got to get Liam Neeson on this.
There you go.
I got to get him brought in here, finding this guy. I'd have, like in Home Alone, the Michael Jordan stand-up. I would have a Liam Neeson stand-up in the house at all times. Should sell that for your ring. That should come along with your ring camera.
I like your dog.
You like my dog, do you? You're going to learn something a little bit about what dogs do now. Because you're going to act like a dog before this is all said and done. Bark like the dog that you are.
All right, check in at
number two.
Are we allowed to have Christmas without Mariah Carey?
I think it's the law that you have to have her involved.
She says she's the queen of Christmas. And she's in the number one spot in the top 100, Hot 100. All I want for Christmas is you. And it's because of those Christmas music stations.
Yeah, they will play her for 24 hours sometimes, or at least once every hour leading up to Christmas.
All I Want for Christmas, this is the first time the 25-year-old song has hit number one. The song's previous record was number three on the charts. I think this proves there are too many Christmas-only radio stations. She was 24 when she recorded this. She had like the 16 octave range or whatever the hell that is.
She's still got quite the range.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not as she used to.
You know how much this song has reaped her? This alone, $60 million.
What?
Yep.
Song is having a good run.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right. Thank you, Mariah. And finally,
number one.
A brazen porch pirate left a thank you note after stealing a Christmas gift in Minnesota, even signing it from the new owner of your package. The note left victim Hillary Von Smith shocked.
I looked down and there was a piece of notebook paper folded neatly on the top step where the package probably should have been. So I picked it up, read it, and it basically was a thank you note for letting me steal your package. And I do appreciate a nicely crafted thank you note, but this is ridiculous. I was angry and confused and quite flabbergasted that somebody would actually leave a thank you note when they steal a package. It's, you know, brazen and arrogant.
So what she's done is she's left other packages out there now with her dog's feces. Relief items in it.
It's probably the same guy creeping into people's cameras.
Right.
Come on over to my house and try to steal the package on my front porch. I got a particular set of skills for that, too, my friend.
I like your dog.
Oh, yeah, you're going to like my dog, all right. Especially when he's feasting on your nether regions.
Oh, God. All right, now, how about this story in Colorado Springs? Same idea here. Christine Hyatt got tired of porch pirates taking her packages, so she decided to get even with them. Not much to anyone's surprise, her decoy packages were gone within hours, gifting holiday package thieves with something rather unexpected.
I've had packages stolen multiple times. I went ahead and said, hey, let's box up some trash and see if someone takes it. The first time we put cat litter in it, dirty cat litter, it was gone in a couple hours. The next time, just a bunch of random trash. This is our next set. We've got diapers and cat poo and lots of trash. And then there's a very lovely sign. And the sign says, me 3, you 0. And it has a couple of profanity words about you shouldn't touch poo. If you don't steal my stuff, you won't have to touch it.
There are some really great videos of revenge package stealing. There's one that has like a almost like a party popper, but in a box form. Mm-hmm. And someone goes to run away with it and just like kind of explodes open, not to where someone would be harmed. But it scared the crap out of the guy that was taking it.
Liam Neeson filled with explosives.
A little C4 will teach you something. Fewer fingers.
Say goodbye to your hands.
Orches. I'm also going to put hungry rattlesnakes in the next box that I've got in front. That'd be kind of a fun one to do.
Yeah. what he puts in the package.
Oh, yeah. Just put a live snake. It'd be great.
Yes. I also have C4, number of explosives, and live botulism toxin. Good luck. That is my particular set of skills.
The top 5 at 5.
All right. Coming up on the other side of the 5 o'clock news here. We got, this is interesting. Do you want to go to Cleveland in 35 minutes and not take a plane? You could take a train. This is a fascinating story. This is the argument of the circulator again. You could be able to get to New York in an hour and 15 minutes on a train. Really? We'll find out about it, but first, the news with Kim Gordon at 5:30.